What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Dark Sunsets. JR, what's good, man?
What's good, brother? How's it going?
It's going well, man. We got everything set up here. We got some interesting stories, some Chicken Gate extremeness on the way, because we obviously had the most recent episode, Chicken Gate number one. That was part one. Now we're on to part two, and we've got, I would say, good news and bad news, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always say the darker the sunsets, the brighter the days. You know, that actually will get that started too. But there will be some developments that we're about to break down for you guys, you know, because I know you from the last episode, you definitely, you know, pun, I guess kind of intended, you guys definitely ate that up.
But, they loved it. Yeah.
You know, so we're going to have some good updates to follow up with. We got this story kind of flows like each of the, or I should say this episode kind of flows, you know, each of the stories is kind of intertwined. So it's going to be a fun episode this time. We're going to work our way through all these things. And, you know, like I did say, the darker the sunset, the brighter the days.
Hey, so just to refresh everybody's memory, and as we were talking about the part one, we were intending to get not only the Chick-fil-A sandwich, but we're also going to get the Popeye's chicken sandwich. But JR, we unfortunately would like to share some news with all of our listeners. Popeye's chicken sandwiches have officially been sold out.
This frenzy for these Popeye's chicken sandwiches, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, back in the day, there was, like, I guess for people that were, you know, a little bit further back in the day, I remember they would talk about, like, the Cabbage Patch Kids, or, like, for the modern day, or the more modern day people, then there was, like, the Tickle Me Elmo.
Yep.
And then, like, Beanie the even Babies. More is Beanie Babies, and then whatever the kids had, like, Hatchimals, whatever is now. But this chicken sandwich has went, you know, viral, parabolic. Like, I've never seen anything like this. And you last week had went, or 2 weeks ago, had went to multiple locations in order to get the sandwich.
Yeah, and it was really disappointing. I mean, like, the amount of excitement I had pulling up to the drive-thru, right away I could tell, as I was sharing in part one, the line around each of the Popeyes was just around the block. But what I've noticed now is, like, anytime I drive past a Popeyes, it feels like the line has got smaller and smaller because people know now that it's not available. So,
yeah.
You know, all these actual Popeyes franchises, they're putting signs in the most ghetto way of just putting no chicken sandwiches available, whether it's taped on to the menu, whether it's on the window as soon as you pull up. They're letting their customers know that you're not going to get you're not going to get this Popeye sandwich just yet.
Well, that's how you know it's authentic. You know, they feel bad about it truly, because I mean, there's been so many memes, you know, we've discussed, there's so many memes, but I had actually went to a Popeye's the other day. By the way, the boneless wings are super fire. Like, that was the first time I ever had them. I don't know the difference between the boneless wings and the actual chicken tenders, because it seemed like they're about the same, but
right.
They were fire either way. The whole thing that was crazy was that inside their menu it's like a digital menu. So when you go inside and you look at what you want to order, the screens are where it would be like a traditional menu where it used to be printed. It's all digital.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there looking, and like every couple seconds, it'll phase into something slightly different. Like it'll be, you know, it'll like list like the family meals or whatever, and then it'll phase to like a quick ad. And the quick ad literally was for the sandwiches, both spicy and non-spicy. And it said, you know, it was basically like a whole panel just like dedicated to this, saying, you know, we're sold out. It'll be back soon. You know, sorry, da da da. But
yeah,
they actually made specifically on the center panels a whole, you know, panel digital graphic that filled up the whole wall pretty much.
Just
that
all
would
about
flash
it.
Periodically saying about, you know, sold out on the sandwich, but it's coming back soon. Sorry.
I mean, I think with you sharing that, and my experience was somewhat similar on the menu. I didn't even see it on the menu because I think a lot of these locations sold it out. But to your point, they're putting it on the digital menu. It's such a great marketing ploy, right? People want what they can't have.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So if you look at something and you're like, oh my gosh, I want that, but it's not available, they're building that anticipation up so much. And, you know, the oldest trick in the book is word of mouth marketing.
Right.
I know people that have eaten the sandwich. So do you.
Right.
And those people are bragging to me that I didn't get to eat it, and they fucking
right.
did.
You right. Know what I right.
mean?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
so excited to tell me that they've had it. So when they're building up this anticipation so much, I think it's only going to make them higher in revenue and produce much more revenue that way, because they're building up the fucking hype so much.
Well, because I mean, that's like you said, it is a great marketing ploy. But then at the same time, you know, the way I think about it too, it's like, just from all the Popeyes that I've delivered, or delivered.
So what you guys don't know is JR has been working for Popeyes for 3 years, so he knew about the sandwich before it dropped.
So all the Popeyes are delivered to my system, technically, and eaten. Every time it's like, you know, everything has always been just fire. I space it out because I don't want to just, you know, be unhealthy and just eat straight fried chicken all the time.
Right.
But it's like, you know, it always builds upon the previous one, builds upon the previous one, builds. So I'm hoping that this is done appropriately. Like, this is my style would be hopefully what Popeyes would do with this, where they're building up the anticipation, letting it build, letting it get big. And then when they roll out this new wave of sandwiches, once they roll it back out nationwide and they're not supposed to be sold out anymore, they better deliver, and these things better be super effing fire.
Because,
I mean,
yeah,
I want this to be a foodgasm explosion. Like, this better be, like, one of the best things, you know, just because it has, I mean, it's reached these heights where I've never seen an actual food product get to
– same.
You know, at a fast food restaurant. I've never seen it get to this level of hype.
So true. Like, I'm thinking about, like, other fast food chains and what products they brought out that I was, like, super excited about. I mean – you could say the McRib. Shout out to Nick P. Nick P and I used to always hit each other up and be like, hey, bro, the McRib
the
is back.
The McRib is back.
We'd literally text each other or call each other and just leave voicemails and be like, hey, man, the McRib is back, and say nothing else and just hang up. So I think the McRib, that would be one product that, you know, is – I don't even think it's on a wavelength of this, though, because, you know, as you and I were talking about this and as we're looking into this article, they generated millions of dollars in media – revenue, as well as just media hype around this, and the fucking sandwich sold out in less than 30 days.
Yeah, I mean, just the amount of money versus the amount of time that they put into it. And, you know, everybody, whenever especially if it, you know marketing, whoever out there that knows marketing, it's like, when you put a lot of work into it, you expect a certain amount of success. But nobody on the Popeyes marketing team could have imagined this level of success. Because obviously they sold out of these sandwiches, but I mean it was a blessing for them anyway. Just because, like we said, once it sold out, then that added, it started to drive the desire even more.
Yeah. So, and as we're talking about this as well, which neither one of us have actually fucking tried, as you can tell, the aggression in both of our voices, we've not tasted the sandwich yet. To all the people that have tasted it, you know, we're not friends anymore. Don't text me. Don't hit us up. But what I think was great about this, and I want your take as well, is the feud that it created from other fast food chains, right? So obviously,
so much beef.
Obviously, no, literally none beef, no beef. So as we know, you know, when we talk about this, and I know we touched on this, when you think about the chicken sandwich, you always think about Chick-fil-A, and now, you know, Wendy's started to get in the mix. So did you get a chance to see the beef and what they were saying back and forth to one another, and what like shit talking they were talking about online, especially when the sandwich sold out?
Well, so I didn't get to see all the beef online. I got to see a lot of the memes where there was just like a lot of memes. I forget the movie where it was like the cheerleaders, where there was like the white girls.
Bring it on.
Yes.
Bring it on.
And then Gabrielle Union led like the urban, like the black girl team, whatever. And they
she was clearly Popeyes.
She was Popeyes. I mean, and it was Kirsten Dunst was the...
And she would definitely say my pleasure. So all of this makes sense.
But I mean they had that, and then, you know, I know Popeyes was basically talking trash, you know, basically saying to Chick-fil-A that people need to eat on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, everybody knows Chick-fil-A, or if you don't know, Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. You know, it's a day of rest for them. But every time I wake up on a Sunday, there's at least, you know, 10% of me that wants something from Chick-fil-A.
Once again, you want what you can't have, right? That's literally how that shit works. And
but then now I'll just stroll down to Popeyes then, you know?
And be denied that you can't get a fucking Popeyes chicken sandwich. Oh, I'm sorry. Where should I go? Should I go to Wendy's now? One of the areas that I definitely wanted to talk to you about, which had me laughing, was as soon as news traveled that Popeyes did sell out of the sandwich, which Popeyes corporate tweeted about it and said, hey, y'all, we love that you love the sandwich. Unfortunately, we're sold out for now. They tweeted that. I'm sure they got all the hate. But immediately, Chick-fil-A comes back and just like tweets, hey, y'all good over there? Like, I think that is so good that they're just stocked up with unlimited chicken. And Popeyes is over here just fucking having complete pandemonium.
Well, so apparently, like this isn't the first time that like a supply chain, like a fast food restaurant, has had an issue like this. Because I guess back in 2018, in February 2018,
yeah,
KFC actually had an issue where they actually were forced to temporarily close, I think it was about like 90-95% of their restaurants in the UK, because like they had a logistics issue and they ran out of chicken themselves. So, you know, of course, it says a chicken restaurant without any chicken. It's not ideal.
No.
Huge apologies to our customers, especially those who traveled out of their way to find that they were closed. But that was from KFC. You know, at least Popeye's still has chicken.
Right.
You know, it's just like that one specific item.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, that's what I had to do. I had to pivot when I pulled up. I'm like, oh, can I have a chicken sandwich? And I couldn't. So then I had to order something else, which I'm still contributing to that franchise, but I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy about it, right?
Like, the $65 million that they generated or they earned in media value, I forget, it was like 45 billion pounds of chicken, or it was some sort of crazy amount of chicken.
Because they looked girthy, the sandwiches. They didn't look like skimpy Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Like, sometimes you get a Chick-fil-A sandwich and they're tiny and little.
Right.
These ones look like they had like a lot of chicken meat to them. I mean, hopefully when they bring them back, they don't short them and shrink them up just to make sure they can have them for all the masses.
Yeah, they definitely had. I mean, it was like you ordered the sandwich and it came with a nap, because it was definitely a hearty sandwich. But yeah, there was a record 43.3 billion pounds of chicken that that poultry companies were expected to sling this year. And Popeyes was one of the ones that was basically handling a majority of that. You know, God. And trying to, because of all this.
Dude, how great would it be if you and I could interview the poultry plants that were like contributing to Popeyes, and they're just like running, they're like in a hamster wheel, just running as fast as they can, like trying to get everything out. Overall, about the Popeyes sandwich, you know, we're going to get it. We're adding some visual content to the podcast. So we're definitely, once we start recording, you know, we'll have the actual Popeyes sandwich,
right,
and
right,
eat it on live footage. Hopefully that's in the next month. They bring it back. You never fucking know.
Season two.
Yeah. But you know, you and I, we've handled this accordingly. We laughed it off, but other people, they'll take it an extra level. So, an actual person pulled a gun at a Houston Popeyes after an angry group told the chicken sandwich was actually sold out. So this was a group of angry customers actually pulled a gun on the manager of a Popeyes restaurant in Houston when they were told that the chicken sandwiches were not available. It was the latest incident stemming from the widely popular item that has rocked the fast food industry, right? So we're talking about being mad about it. These people are fucking pulling guns.
Yeah, they're definitely not taking it the right way. And so I guess the police were called at about 9 p.m. Popeyes closes, I think, at like, it might be 10 or 11.
Right.
You know, but obviously these people might have had a long day, and they came in expecting, you know, some of this brioche bun and butter and magic, and they didn't get it. And apparently that just sent them over the edge. So it was a group of males and females that had tried ordering this, you know, the brioche bun sandwich, and they tried to order through the drive through, and they were basically told that it was unavailable. So then they tried to get inside the restaurant, but I guess a worker saw them, you know, trying to run in, and he was able to lock them out.
Right.
And then, so when the manager came, you know, up to them and told them that they were out of sandwiches, one of the males got extremely upset and decided to pull a pistol out on the manager and demand a chicken sandwich.
So, I mean, let's just stop there, right? So I haven't been to Popeyes a lot, as I told you in the first episode. Do they have this brioche bun separately that you could order so you could make your own chicken sandwich? Or is it exclusive just to the sandwich? Because, I mean, a pistol is a lot for a fucking $4 sandwich.
Yeah, I mean,
like, people are risking life in prison, if not fucking 20 to life.
Yeah, yeah.
For this sandwich.
Aggravated assault for Sammy. But the thing is, it's not like the manager was holding out. You know what I mean? It's not like they were like, they had him on the side. Five on you know? Deck
over here. Yeah.
It's, you know, because there wasn't like they walked in and he looked at them and then was like, nah, nah, you're not getting sandwiches. Like, they went to the drive through first and just, you know, you're just a voice at that time. So it's not like they, you know, picked you out specifically. It's just a voice and just said, nah, we don't have any chicken. We don't have any chicken sandwiches or whatever.
It's really just mind boggling. It just goes to show you that Popeyes is just creating complete chaos. And it's also sharing with me from my point of view is, so many people were about Popeyes that I didn't even know about. I didn't know Popeyes had this huge wave of popularity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know this.
Well, it's because because people think of, like, Church's Chicken or KFC in regards to, like, fried chicken.
Yeah.
But I will say the difference is Popeyes actually is extremely flavorful.
Okay.
And, I mean, if you get a chance, try the red beans and rice out.
Yep.
Red beans and rice.
You like, delivered that or no?
I've delivered it to my system, technically. But if you, let's say you hit up some red beans and rice and then you like hit up, let's say like 25, 30 pushups, you know, it helps with those gains.
There you go.
And I mean the red beans and rice gains, you know, it's crazy, but
that's another reason why I don't want to record this podcast is because you're just going to be wearing wife beaters the whole time. Like just had Popeyes, red beans and rice.
you gotta eat, you know? But yeah, so
episode 17, you gotta eat,
you gotta eat, you know? So, but yeah, so basically, the manager informed them again that they were out of the sandwiches, and then eventually they drove off. Nobody got harmed or anything like that, but they're basically looking at it as potentially just an aggravated assault since there was a weapon that was displayed and had threatened employees. But this, you know, this was I guess another one in the series of this whole, you know, craziness regarding this Popeye's chicken sandwich. Because there was another person, a Tennessee man, that actually was trying to sue Popeyes for about $5,000 after he ended up damaging his car, driving to multiple locations looking for said chicken sandwich.
So what, he's like, he's either crashed his car or he's driven it past the shelf life of his vehicle. So now he's suing because he's angry about not being able to fulfill his Popeye's Chick-fil-A quota.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, he's trying to sue them for $5,000. I mean, at least out of all the people that, you know, sue, at least he didn't try to sue for like, oh, I'm suing for like a mil or I'm suing for like five. At least he just tried to keep it low key.
Right. And wasn't there another guy as well? I don't know if it was in Tennessee, but it was definitely here in potentially even Florida where he's trying to sue Popeye's for false advertising. Right. So he saw a commercial that said Popeye's chicken sandwich available. And then he went to local Popeyes, which shut him down.
Yeah.
So he's trying to sue as well. I mean, I prefer this guy's case. I mean, at least he's putting in the effort.
Yeah.
The other guy's sitting on his couch and being like, fuck it. How can I just...
He tried to go to one place, maybe.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, at least this guy was driving from location to location.
Which is fantastic because it says driving to multiple locations. What if he fucking drove from like state to state?
He probably did.
So dedicated. I mean, if your delivery service is still available.
It could have been me, technically, that I might be the person actually suing.
This article was written about you is what's happening.
I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, deliveries got crazy. I needed that cake. But
so about Popeyes, right, that leads us into another, not only a two-for-one here where we're talking about fast food, but we're also talking about a Florida story as well. So the next one also is chaos, in my opinion, where two 20-year-olds from St. Augustine pulled into a Palm Coast McDonald's. Palm Coast is here in Florida. Before dawn on Monday, which is a perfect time to get McDonald's, and threatened the drive-thru cashier with a gun for giving them cold hamburgers.
This is a troubling trend, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what all this gunplay is at these fast food restaurants, but... it's not safe out there. I mean, it's not safe. I mean,
it's like people don't even like, they're not even concerned about their life anymore. They're like, if I can't get my product and if I'm going to pull a gun in either one of these scenarios, I'm at least going to pull the gun for the more hype sandwich of a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Not a fucking 69-cent cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Where the bread is cardboard. You don't even know what that is.
They could at least got like a Big Mac or like a big and tasty or something.
Exactly.
I mean, like, this is ridiculous.
But Jawan Davis Jr., he's definitely white, and Jordan Dunn, both 20, were charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon following the incident, which took place just before 4 a.m. at the McDonald's along Belterra Parkway, according to an arrest report. So Flagler County deputies also charged Dunn with marijuana possession and booked Davis on counts of driving without a Florida license and grand theft of a firearm. A sheriff's office spokeswoman issued a statement on Monday afternoon indicating that the men were on a joyride, obviously stoned because they had marijuana, when they stopped for the fast food chain early Monday. The arrest report states that they ordered 5 burgers, but Davis felt like they were cold. He became really upset and demanded they be remade. That's when both of the men, not just one, flashed their firearms at the drive-thru employee and threatened them, the cashier told deputies. Davis said, my favorite quote, I think this is the actual episode title, "I don't play about my food."
That might actually be the winner right there. So I don't play about my food either, but I'm not going to roll up at 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning to a McDonald's, ordering a burger, and then get upset and then, you know, pop off like that. Literally, there's one of those stories, guys. This is one of those stories. Like,
it's ridiculous.
And, of course, it did the combo because we just talked about the Popeyes gun group. We have a McDonald's gun group combined with the Florida Man story. So now we have Florida Man and gun group and another one.
I mean, if this is not the next Avengers movie, I don't know what is, dude. So it even gets better. Hold up. So the cashier agreed to remake the burgers after obviously guns were fucking pointed at them and then went and called 911. Deputies arrived while the suspects were still waiting in the car in the drive-through line, and the officers seized, wait for it, a BB gun and an unloaded handgun and a small bag of marijuana. So they had not only a pistol that was completely out of bullets, but also a BB gun. But if you're the cashier, I mean, you're looking at that being like, oh, my life's about to be over.
Right, right. I mean, it's, if somebody pulls a gun on you, you're not going to
be like,
you
know, oh, that's,
you're not
going to
call
one.
Their bluff. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you got to just be cool about that whole thing. But yeah, supposedly Davis had told the officers that they were just simply joking with the McDonald's worker when they flashed their guns. Besides just the whole how stupid that sounds, I mean, you know, they definitely were going to get what they were going to get one way or the other. But, you know, I believe his name was Rick Staley, when he pulled the, or he got them, and he said in the statement that, you know, they were driving around looking for trouble, and now they can enjoy the food served at the Green Roof Inn. You know, so basically, you know, commissary food, you know, jail type food, whatever is going in, you know, please, guys, just take it easy on the food. And if that's the case, just don't eat out. Like, just, you know, make your own food. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can't handle the pressures of life, then don't eat out.
I mean, yeah. And as you were sharing, if you are going to eat garbage, at least do work out, like, you know, do some exercise, do something that is going to make you healthy and be better for, you know, your future. Unlike our next candidate, who we really have this fast food trend that's happening right now. But that definitely leads us perfectly into our next story, where shout out to my hometown and in UK. It's not specifically my hometown, but of course, this happened in England. The title of this, which has me in stitches already, a teenager actually went deaf and blind due to his junk food diet. So this teenager is believed to be the first person in UK to go deaf and blind due to his actual junk food diet. The 17-year-old lived off a daily portion of chips, a.k.a. French fries for you fucking Yanks, crisps, a.k.a. potato chips, and I think it actually says it was Pringles, and white bread and processed meat for around a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So his poor diet obviously resulted in a number of vitamin deficiencies and led the boy to developing a condition called nutritional optic neuropathy, and more commonly seen in male nourished children in developing countries. Purely dietary causes of NON, which I just shared, are rare in the Western world because we're pretty privileged when it comes to food. So this kid literally went fucking deaf and blind from eating French fries, white bread, cheeseburgers, and Pringles.
A little bit of processed ham.
And some processed meat.
Some sausage since elementary school, it said, too.
Probably a lot of Lunchables. Probably some meat discs, as we've talked about.
Nice throwback. I mean, yeah. So I get kids have, like, differences in, you know, textures. Like a lot of people don't eat certain stuff because of textures. Like, you know, I get that that's like a thing, but you gotta, this whole thing, you can't just literally, that's all fried and sodium, you know, like the processed meat, the meat discs, all that stuff. That's just like processed stuff. So, I'm surprised that it took as long as 10 years for that, for anything to happen.
I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he's a fat fucking kid though. He's got to be, if that's all he was eating the whole time.
Like, so, you know, basically I guess the, what really started to kick off stuff for him was that his vitamin B12 levels were really, really low. Like you had said, he had some anemia and things like that, but then he started to have signs of hearing loss and vision symptoms. And so if he's going to have that, at some point in time, you would think that he would have said, oh, like something's not right with me. Like maybe I need to like reverse trends or, you know, do something different.
Start running or walking outside.
So then, you know, within about a year, his vision had worsened and, you know, and gotten to the point of blindness by the time that he was 17. So then when they identified that he had the B12 deficiency, he had low copper and selenium levels, and then he had really high zinc levels. And he also had apparently a bone level density issue as well. When they like noticed all this stuff, I mean, it was obviously too late in order to really kind of fully reverse the trend, at least, you know, diet wise, whatnot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always see kids that don't, you know, they'll stay away from certain stuff, whatever. But hopefully, you know, parents could use anybody that has any kids, like, you know, that they have kids that don't eat stuff specifically, like maybe like use this as a measuring stick in order to not have this issue, you know, keep happening. Cause it's like, there's ways around, you know, some texture stuff you might not eat. Sure. But you got to at least have your nutrients. Like this is probably one of the crazier, like we've had some crazy stories. This is one of the crazier ones. Cause this is something that took a long process. Like this is like years and years and years and years and years going in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this kid will probably, I mean, if he doesn't change his diet now or his habits, especially because he's deaf, if not blind as well, you know, he's going to have a heart attack in the next 3 or 4 years if he keeps this up. If it's affecting his body already like this, like there's probably no turning back from now unless he does a drastic change.
Yeah, and I was trying to see if there was anything that like possibly like if he had reversed his trend, like it might help regenerate, you know, any of his optical, you know, senses, anything like that. But I believe that it was too far gone. I don't see anything that's saying anything that would be able to reverse anything in regards to like the hearing or the sight. And I know that, I mean, I know they have like surgeries and stuff you can do, like you replace lenses and stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, this is just kind of sad. Just, you know, like he basically put up a gun to his own self, you know,
just by eating the worst type of things for his body. I mean, his body is literally like burning inside and out. And that does lead us into our next story that happened at Burning Man, talking about burning. If you like that segue.
hell of a transition.
I had to. So this one, we're talking about this before. I mean, I was almost in tears. This story just in general. So for those who don't know, Burning Man is a festival that happens in Nevada where it's not like your typical festival where you go there and you can't really buy anything. It's all like barter system, right? So if I have a hat and I see that I want something of yours, I'll walk up to you and say, hey, you know, can I have that? I'll trade you for this. It's a very interesting type of festival, if you will. I've wanted to go, but I don't know if I have the balls to go because it just looks so intense. But at the most recent Burning Man that just happened, Australian DJ Flume actually was performing live, probably in front of, you know, 50, 60,000 people. And one person in the front actually had a sign that was going up and down. And it was, you know, first, if not third row, right in the front of his set. And he's like actually performing. And the sign said, does DJ Flume even eat ass? So what did he do, JR? He actually brought his girlfriend up on stage.
Right.
And proceeded to go down and eat her ass from the back while performing in front of all these people.
Now, did he maintain the beat while he was eating said ass?
Didn't miss anything.
Okay, so, I mean, then if he performed properly and the fans loved it or whatever, then I guess he did his thing. But when you play this video, The thing that had
which me we encourage everyone to watch the video. It's like a 6 second clip. Just watch it, just for the sake of it.
And it's not like you can't really like see anything on the video. So it's like if you can't handle something like that, you'll be okay. Like you're not gonna see anything that's gonna like make you pass out or something like that. If you're a little light stomached or whatever. But on the video, just the caption is just "Sorry, Mom." And I mean, that had me in tears. Like I just, out of everything, that just "Sorry, Mom," just, you know, that had me cracking up. But apparently it was a big hit, and I think he sold more tickets. I think there was some people that were at the event and they saw it, and then a couple people said that they actually decided to buy tickets for next year because they were inspired of DJ Flume's ass eating. So
I mean, if he, literally like he's helping out not only his ticket sales, he's increasing his popularity, and he's grubbing on stage of his misses. I mean, props to the
fucking snack pack.
First off, I just want to say props to the girl. If you look at the video and you watch the video, props to her. Even I wouldn't even say agreeing to it. It looks like she just improv saw the sign. He said something on the microphone and she just hopped on it.
Yeah, you know, but girl about her business. You know, she knew what she wanted. She got what she got. You know, it was all good. But I mean, selling more tickets, you know, for next year. Apparently, he got even more. He got even more fans and everything like that from this event. But then others, I guess, apparently declared him as a legend, quote unquote. So,
I mean, that's definitely rock star status.
Right? As they said, as one of the fans responded in quotations, "If that's not relationship goals, I don't know what what is," you know, right there. So, I mean, DJ Flume, you know, shout outs to him for, you know, getting people back to Burning Man, you know, getting the hype around Burning Man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting his grub on, you know, while still not missing a beat while DJing. So shout outs to DJ Flume.
And speaking of getting your grub on, that definitely leads us into our next and final story here, which I thought is a great way to close this episode. An actual YouTuber was successfully selling microwave meals from his fake restaurant called the Italian Stallion to consumers, similar to an Uber Eats that he was literally microwaving at his own house.
Now, this is a whole new meaning to small business. And so this was a popular YouTuber, Josh Pieters. And so I guess what he was trying to demonstrate is that, you know, basically people will, you know, people, I guess if they think that they're ordering from, like, let's say a fancy place or whatever, they're not going to necessarily tell the difference, you know, between the fancy place and like a microwave dinner.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's if you did almost like a, if you did a taste test between like a really, really fancy wine versus like a, like $10, $12 Barefoot or something like that.
Barely tell a difference.
A lot of people actually find that the more inexpensive wine is more palatable.
Yeah.
So he was trying to kind of do something similar to that. And so he created his own fake Italian restaurant called Italian Stallion. And he basically microwaved up meals. Like he had like microwave dinners.
Fantastic.
And he would heat them up. And then he basically, you know, put them on, or he put his kitchen, you know, his Italian kitchen on the Deliveroo app, and then began selling these microwavable meals so that when people would, you know, go and purchase these things, they would actually deliver, you know, the food. Like they would come pick it up and he'd, you know, hand them, you know, "Oh, here's the food," whatever.
So fantastic.
And they'd go and deliver it. And then, so I guess it took about 2 to 3 weeks for the whole process to get his restaurant up there. And, you know, he was just happy that he got it up there, got the food, you know, cooking and everything. And then, you know, of course, the Deliveroo representatives didn't want to, like, speak about this whole thing because they felt embarrassed, you know, and everything.
And they were going to an apartment, right, like where he was actually microwaving these. I think his location of where he was putting the Italian Stallion was at his fucking apartment.
Yeah, yeah. I believe from what you said, or from what they said in the story, what you said was right, where I think it's at his apartment. And so they were coming up, and then I guess he would just maybe have it ready and, you know, send out the meals or whatever. But he made it available on Deliveroo. The orders started coming in as soon as he added a discount to the restaurant. So
it's so good. It's literally so good.
So So him and his I guess they call him his pranking partner Archie Manners.
So British, by the way, the most fucking British name. Archie. Like, if you don't know an Archie, you're Archie in Britain. Like, that's how British name that name is.
And so I guess the food that they were getting, it's like there's a
Waitrose, which is like a Walmart or like a a grocery store.
Okay, so yeah, so it's like a grocery store, but it's a grocery store like ready meal. So you just have to heat it up, whatever. So when the orders would come in, they would run down to the Waitrose and then heat up the food, package it, and then bring it down to the delivery person within 15 minutes that, you know, Deliveroo allows for, like, to prepare the food and whatnot. And they ended up filling 5 total orders. So they said that they weren't sure how it was going to work. And at first they thought they might have to have the restaurant open for a week and get as many orders as possible. But as soon as they turned the discount on at nighttime, then they got loads of orders. So people would just literally saw discount, like Italian restaurant.
Of course, yeah.
And then started ordering whatever. And they got 5 orders, but they felt like they had gotten hundreds just because they had to keep running up and down the stairs to get the food from the restaurant.
So they're literally let's walk through this. They're getting the orders on the app. They're acting like the restaurant. Then they're actually having to go downstairs and buy the meals from the fucking grocery store and then bring it back upstairs, heat it up. And then as they're heating up, there's a delivery person knocking on their door.
Right.
Who's then coming from the order. Okay, just to get that right, which is immediately amazing. So continue, yeah.
Right. So then, they got all those orders in, and they actually decided, just because they were doing this, I guess, for the YouTube channel, whatever.
Yeah.
They decided to pay each of the customers back for the food that they had ordered with cash, since they were being charged so much for microwavable meals. But the people actually gave amazing feedback from the food. They said it was amazing. They thought it was great. And they thought that the money back was just an added bonus. Like, they were perfectly pleased with the meals that they got.
They were okay with it.
And they didn't feel bad that they had gotten, I don't want to say ripped off, but, upcharged on these same meals, whatever.
Yeah.
So they didn't even feel bad about it. And so this Pieters guy, since he had posted the video about this, it's been watched over 183,000 times since it was posted on YouTube. And he still hasn't actually heard anything about it from the Deliveroo company. Like, they haven't, like, said a word to him about it, whatever. So, I mean, he's literally got the video posted has got over 180,000 views. This actually, like I said, it's kind of like that wine taste testing thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy, but I think it's hilarious.
I think it's just fantastic that, they got to the point of running this operation. They went in it as having a prank, but this is like the one catch that really got me. Everyone was very thankful because, we put the amount of money in the delivery bag to the people that spent that because we didn't want to actually rip off people because they were charging them, 10 to 12 pounds, which is like $12-$13 per meal.
Right.
And they were buying them downstairs for like maybe 5 or 6.
Right.
So when you were saying small business, that's a fucking small business.
So they were basically, at least the people were getting a meal at cost and then they were getting their money back. But, it was just a good example.
You do realize, like, as we're wrapping up here, I looked at all of our stories and they all talk about eating one or another, whether it's Popeyes, eating ass, eating junk food, microwave meal scams.
Well, you know what that just means? It just means that I'm serious about my food. Peace.